Great to see all of you joining us here in person in the sanctuary, and those of you online, a very special hello to you as well. As you know, some of you know, I was away last Sunday, actually joining from SFO, all of you online, watching Pastor John do almost a one-man show, and then Pastor Ted, the sermon that he recorded from home. I flew out to attend a Converge, a conference of Alliance mission leaders gathered around the topic of missions. And this year, the focus was really on member care. And those of you who remember Steve and Mary Westergren, they send you their greetings. They also spoke, and I had a chance to have lunch with them as well. I was also able to see the new Alliance National Office site in Reynoldsburg, Ohio, and hear amazing stories of how God has been leading and providing. And they actually just moved into the temporary building that overlooks the new site. And the property is actually going to be called One Alliance Place. Can you believe it? The city has approved a little driveway called Alliance Place. But we need to continue to pray for the planning, the building, and the construction over the next several years. A lot of exciting things, a lot of amazing stories of God at work. Now, in case you're wondering, and especially for those of you gathered here in the sanctuary, after coming back, I was quarantined in one of my kids' rooms. I had to wear a mask at home because the doctor at home insisted. But I haven't had any COVID symptoms, and I did take a few multiple COVID tests, two antigen and one PCR test on various days, and thankfully I've tested negative. Pastor Ted was on call just in case the result was positive. So thankfully I am able to be here with you in person, and it's so good to be back home. As you know, we have been joining the greater U.S. Alliance family and engaging in 40 days of prayer. So I'm hoping that you have been able to receive each of the daily devotionals, the prayer points. And if you haven't been, it's not too late to sign up. Just let us know. Send an email to info@sjcc.org, and we'll add you to the list. Now, this year's theme is reawakening to Christ, with a different emphasis for the first 6 weeks of 2022. The first week, we talked about the reawakening to the glory of Christ. And then last week was the life, death, and resurrection of Christ. And today, this week's focus is reawakening to the Spirit of Christ. And then we have the Church of Christ, the mission of Christ, and the return of Christ. So just something to look forward to. But I hope you'll be joining us as we pray together, not only as a church family, but also as an entire Alliance movement across the 2,000 churches in the U.S. Today, I want to focus on the word reawakening and what it really means. Now, the word reawaken is a verb. It's action. It's an active word, and, you know, it's really meant to cause some action. Oxford Dictionary defines the word as emerge or cause to emerge again with reference to a feeling or state. Now, some other definitions that I've seen is, or that you may know about, is to revive, or to wake up again, or to rouse from a state of inactivity, to reactivate, reanimate, rekindle, renew, resurrect, revitalize, revive, revivify, and any other reword you can think of. Now, something that was dead or asleep, being woken up again, stirred up, re-engaged, and being restored to its original intention or intended purpose. I'm sure all of us have fallen asleep, and we've kind of been, you know, jolted as we've tried to wake up, or perhaps nodded off unintentionally during our church service. And then being woken up and really trying to catch up and kind of pretend, oh, I was listening, I'm paying attention, or kind of getting back into the moment or conversation. Or perhaps, you know, our foot may have fallen asleep because, you know, we've been kneeling and praying or whatever. And then, you know, waking our foot up, right? Reawakening. Now, if you look throughout church history, or throughout history, there have been times when the greater church has gone through periods of various awakenings. The first and second great awakenings in the 1700s and 1800s. A spiritual resurgence in the U.S. and across England, under people like Moody and Spurgeon in the late 19th century. Now, each of those times were marked with a profound sense of conviction of personal sin, of repentance, and a deep longing for the work of the Lord, the need for redemption. And then we saw throughout history that the amazing result was widespread revival in the churches, people coming to know Jesus, coming to worship him. Now, the predecessor to that was there was a deep hunger for Jesus, for his presence in our lives, for his word, for his spirit, and for his gospel. Now, the assumption is that for a spiritual reawakening or awakening to occur, the previous period, the previous time, it was a time of sleep or slumber, and there was a lack of deep hunger for Jesus' presence and the work in the church. Now, I know that many of us have prayed for revival, and I'm sure are still praying for revival, for the church, for the greater church at large. But I want to bring it home a little closer today, not just about the general church, you know, all the churches in the world or all of Christianity, or even specifically for SJCAC, but I want to focus on our individual lives first, because I really believe that reawakening needs to happen in each one of us personally in 2022. What area or areas of my life, of your life, needs to be reawakened? What has been sleeping or nodding off, maybe unintentionally, or dormant in my life that needs to be stirred up again? Perhaps it's an area in our life that we didn't even realize has fallen asleep. We've just kind of ignored it or not paid attention. What needs to be woken up today, brothers and sisters? Today's scripture reading takes us back to the Old Testament book of Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 37, verses 1 to 14. I'm going to invite all of us to stand and read this together from the English Standard Version. Verse 1. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of the valley. It was full of bones. And he led me around them, among them, and behold, there were very many on the surface of the valley, and behold, they were very dry. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, you know. Then he said to me, prophesy over these bones, and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live. I will lay sinews upon you, and will cause flesh to come upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live. And you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a sound, and behold, a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to its bone. And I looked, and behold, there were sinews on them, and flesh had come upon them, and skin had covered them. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood on their feet, an exceedingly great army. Then he said to me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried up, and our hope is lost. We are indeed cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord God, behold, I will open your graves and raise you from your graves, O my people, and I will bring you into the land of Israel. And you shall know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and raise you from your graves, O my people. And I will put my spirit within you, and you shall live, and I will place you in your own land. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. I have spoken, and I will do it, declares the Lord. Thank you. Please be seated. So we see that the prophet Ezekiel is taken to see a vision of a valley of dry bones, representing the Jews that were in captivity, scattered and dead. You know, he was speaking primarily to his fellow captives among the children of Israel. By that time, about 10 of the tribes of Israel had been so widely scattered among the surrounding nations that they seemed all but lost as a people, as a nation. And the tribes of Judah, Benjamin, and Levi had just been conquered and carried away captive to the land of Babylon. Now, it looked as if the Jewish national identity was forever gone, and they would never return back to the land of Canaan, to their promised land. And the purpose of this vision really was to inspire them with the hope that God would someday revive them again as a nation. Now, the reading begins by saying that it was this valley that Ezekiel was in, this vision that he saw. He was in this valley, and it was full of dry bones. It was full of bones, and it says that they were not just any bones, but the bones were very dry. Dead men's bleached bones. No hope of life. Bones that weren't just still had perhaps flesh on them. Pardon the image, but just bones. Dry bones. Now keep in mind that those days when an army was defeated in battle in biblical times, the victorious soldiers would often strip the valuables from the slain and they would leave the enemy's bodies unburied. They would leave them for the wild animals of the wilderness or the vultures. And in some places where it was very remote, the skeletons would sometimes remain for years afterwards until the elements kind of took over. Now, Ezekiel lived in a time where you could literally find valleys of bones, places where there were battles, where the enemy was slain, basically, there was no one to bury those lost soldiers. These bones had been in this valley that Ezekiel saw for some time. There was no meat, no marrow, no flesh, no moisture on these bones. Completely dry, sun-scorched, barren. Not just dead, but beyond dead. Now, God asked Ezekiel in verse 3, Son of man, can these bones live? Now, looking at the evidence from a human perspective, an entirely human perspective, of course not. These bones are dead. How could they live? How could they be revived? They're like all over the place, just a pile of bones. They actually belong to the graveyard, and they should be buried away. They can't live. But if Ezekiel had responded to God's question based on the evidence of his senses, he really would have answered no, right? Dead, dry bones cannot come back to life. There is no way. But that was not how he answered. He actually answered very wisely. He says, O Lord God, you know, right? I don't think I would have answered that way. I would have probably said, no, of course not. Dead bones, they're dead. They cannot live. But Ezekiel had a different perspective. He trusted that the Lord would know, would have the answer, whether or not these bones would live. And what may appear hopeless and dead to you or I could potentially be a field full of possibilities for the Lord God Almighty. Asking the Lord for a different perspective in the midst of seemingly impossible situations that might be dead or dry. How can we begin to have this different perspective that when we see from a physical standpoint something that's hopeless, something that's dead, something that is dry, that when the Lord might say, can these things live? What would our response be? Would we adamantly say, no, of course not. There's no way that these things can live again. Or can we have a different perspective and say, well, God, you know if these things can live again. Or perhaps to even take it one step further and say, actually, God, if you breathe life into them, of course they will live. Of course they will be resurrected. Of course they will be reawakened. Then in verse 4, God says to Ezekiel, prophesy over these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Behold, I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live. I will lay sinews upon you and will cause flesh to come upon you and cover you with skin and put breath in you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord. Now, speaking to a pile of dead bones or to a whole valley full of dead bones doesn't seem to make sense. It just seems really pointless and a waste of time. But yet, how does Ezekiel respond? He actually obeys. He actually follows what God says. When God says prophesy, he actually prophesies. He doesn't hem or haw. He doesn't say, God, are you sure? Like, it makes no sense. These bones are dead. Why would I say these things? He prophesies over the bones, and then we see that's when things start to happen. It's interesting that as he obeys and prophesies, things start happening. He doesn't wait for things to happen and then obey. When God says prophesy, he obeys, and then things start happening. It wasn't the other way around. He hears rattling. He hears bones starting to come together. Bone to bone. Sinews, or another version. Tendons coming upon the bones. Flesh, and then skin. It's interesting that it's recorded in that order, right? You've got the bones, you've got the sinews and the tendons, you've got the flesh, and then you've got the skin, right? Even the order is very particular, right? It makes sense, right? And then skin starts appearing and covering all of the bones, right? But again, as he obeys, things start happening. What if he didn't prophesy? What if he didn't obey? What if he's like, no, God, I'm just gonna sit and wait and watch you move before I obey? You know, a lot of times we may do that. A lot of times we say, God, why don't you work? Why don't you do something first? And then I'll obey, right? But God doesn't do that, right? He actually tells Ezekiel, prophesy. Ezekiel immediately obeys, and things start to happen. We wait for God to start working many times. But my question to you, brothers and sisters, is have we obeyed first? Has the Lord been telling us to do something first before he starts to move? Before he starts to make a sound, before the bones start rattling, before the bone connects to bone, before the sinews and tendons come onto the bone, before the flesh and the skin start appearing. Are we waiting for God to act first? Or should we be obeying first before the Lord sees our obedience and then things start to happen? That's my question to you. Has the Lord been speaking to you, dear church family, or individually, brothers and sisters, about something that he wants you to obey, but you haven't been hearing it, or you've been pretending not to hear it, or you think you know better, and you're like, no, God, you work first, and then I will follow you in obedience. Today, God is saying, no, it doesn't work that way. We must obey first. And when we do, that's when things start happening. When we step out in faith, when God says prophesy, and we prophesy, even though it doesn't make sense because you're speaking to a pile of dead bones that have no life, from a human perspective, who would do that? A fool would do that. But that is not God's perspective. God's perspective is, listen to me, my child, obey me, and then I will start moving. Obey me, and then I will resurrect. Obey me, and then I will give sinews and tendon and flesh and skin, and finally breath to your dead situation. It takes obedience first, brothers and sisters, and then we trust God to continue his work. Once we start walking in obedience, God starts putting things together. That's not our job. Our job is to obey, And God's job is to put things together. So he does that. He prophesies, right? And, you know, it talks about the rattling, the bones coming together, and sinews and flesh. And but then it also says in verse 8, after the skin covers the bones, it says very clearly, but there was no breath in them. Hey, wait a second. Where's the breath? Like, I obeyed God. Why didn't you fulfill your end of the deal? I obeyed. I walked in obedience. Things started happening, but it's still dead. Where is the breath? God, did I hear you wrong? How come it's still dead? Where is the breath? Well, God says to Ezekiel, prophesy again, right? Prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain that they may live. And again in verse 10, Ezekiel prophesies again as God commanded him. And the breath came into them, and they lived and stood on their feet, an exceedingly great army. Prophesy again. Obey again. You know, sometimes it's a process. Sometimes it's not just a one-step thing. Sometimes it's a journey of obedience. Yes, you may have obeyed this time, but perhaps there's no breath. And then God says, obey again, prophesy again. And when Ezekiel does that, the breath comes into the bones. The breath comes into the corpse. The breath comes into this thing that is lifeless. Ezekiel didn't stop and say, God, I'm done. I prophesied, and all I see is this corpse. Yeah, there's more flesh. There's meat, but it's still a corpse. It's still dead. There's no breath. He could have just stopped and threw in the towel and said he was done with obeying, and that God was maybe messing with him and didn't fulfill his promise. But he didn't do that. He didn't give up. He persevered. He kept doing what God said. It's interesting that sometimes we think, oh yeah, I'll just follow God, I'll obey. And I think most of us are willing to do that. But then when stuff still doesn't happen, we get flustered, we get frustrated, we get upset. And we're like, God, what happened? But maybe God is once again saying, obey me some more. Prophesy again. Keep at it. Don't give up. Continue. And when we do, like Ezekiel, that's when the breath comes. That's when the corpse comes to life. That's when the spirit breathes into this dead, inanimate object and raises it to life again. Verse 14, and I will put my spirit within you, and you shall live. And I will place you in your own land. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. I have spoken, and I will do it, declares the Lord. It's the Spirit of God that breathes life into us. It's the same Spirit that breathed life into Adam when he created man in his own image. It's the Spirit of God who revives all things. It's the same Spirit of God who can breathe life into your seemingly dead situation, into your dry bone situation, into your thing that needs to be reawakened. This Spirit of God who breathed life into this valley of bones and raised all these bones up into a tremendous army can still breathe life into your situation and my situation today. I will put my spirit within you. This breath of life can raise not only the dead, but can raise your situation and mine. What dry bones are in our midst today? What dry bones might be in your life? What's so dead and dry and lifeless that we so desperately want to be revived and restored of as we enter this new year? Maybe it's something that we've maybe even forgotten about. It's been dormant. Maybe it was something 5 years ago, 10 years ago. Maybe God is reminding you again today of that dry bone, of that dead thing, of that thing that has been dormant. Some of us do a pretty good job of covering up our dry bones. Some of us know that they're there. It's like a skeleton in the closet, but we hide it. Maybe our marriages are dry and barren. Or maybe there's been a loss of life in our family or work relationships. Maybe it's a relational thing that has died out. What needs to be reawakened in our lives today? In your spiritual life, what needs to be reawakened? Maybe it's a spiritual discipline that you used to have. Maybe it's your prayer life. Maybe you used to be a prayer warrior, but then as life got busy, it just kind of, it's not there anymore. Or it's not like what it used to be. Maybe it's a spiritual discipline of fasting. Maybe meditating on God's word. Or maybe it's a spiritual gift that you really haven't been exercising, that's been kind of dormant. But at one point in time, you knew you had that spiritual gift. But for whatever reason, you just haven't been exercising it. Maybe a relationship has gone cold. Maybe you just have thrown in the towel. Maybe it's just not worth investing in anymore because that person just has hurt you, or you've just kind of given up. Maybe it's a passion for Jesus himself that has grown cold. Maybe we've kind of become too jaded or just like, yeah, I've been a Christian for so many years, but you know, I'm not excited anymore. I've just been going through the motions, been there, done that. God's really not real anymore. What is it in your life that needs to be reawakened? What is it that is dry and dead? As we saw from Ezekiel, he walked in obedience, even when it didn't make sense. Even when God said prophesy, he followed. Are we walking in obedience today? Are we doing our part and letting God do the rest? Or are we waiting for God to act and then getting upset when he doesn't fulfill everything that we want him to? Ask the Spirit of God to breathe his life into your deadness, into the area that needs to be reawakened, into the area that is dry and desolate. As we close, I'm going to ask the worship team to come up and lead us in a response song. But I also want to spend some time asking you to come before the Lord and really being honest. No one's going to ask you. I'm not going to have you stand up or anything. Well, I'll have you stand up to respond and sing. But ask the Lord, what is it, God, that is dead in my life right now? What is it that is dry? Be real honest with God. Ask the Lord to reveal to you one thing. I'm not talking about 10, just one thing. One thing in your life that has lost vitality. One thing in your life that you just didn't think could live again. One thing that needs to be reawakened. And commit that to him, even as we respond.
Spirit of the living. God, we only want to hear your voice. We're hanging on every word. Spirit of the living God, Spirit of the living God, we want to know you more and more. We're hanging on every word. To us, Lord, Spirit of the living God, Spirit of the living God, we only want to hear your voice. We're hanging on every word, Spirit of the living God. Spirit of the living God, we want to know you more and more. We're hanging on every word. 'Cause when you speak, when you move, when you do what only you can do, it changes us, it changes what we see and what we seek. When you come in the room, when you do what only you can do, it changes us, it changes what we see and what we see. You're changing everything. Let's stand as we sing verse 2. Spirit of the living God, Spirit of the living God, we're leaning into all you are. Everything else can wait. Spirit of the living God, Spirit of the living God, come now and breathe upon our hearts. Come now and have your way. When you speak, when you move, when you do what only you can do, it changes us, changes what we see and what we seek. When you come in the room, when you do what only you can do, it changes us, it changes what we see and what we see. When you speak, when you move, when you do what only you can do, it changes us, it changes what we see and what we seek. When you come in the room, when you do what only you can do, it changes us, it changes what we see and what we see. Changing everything. When you move all I fear. When you move us to tears. When you move all I fear. Come in the room when you do what only you. changes us. It changes what we see and what we see. It changes everything. Living God, we only want to hear your voice, hanging on every word.
So Spirit of the living God, we ask, Lord, now that you come, we invite your presence here now. We know that you are here. Father, we ask, God, that you would show us, Lord, as we bring to you those areas in our lives that may have fallen asleep, that may be dry, that may be dead, that may have been forgotten about. Father, as you reveal to us, take away our fears, take away any apprehension, any resistance, and laying them down at your feet, and asking you, in daring to be audacious, in daring to come together with authority, and asking you to revive, asking you to bring life, asking you to restore, to renew, to breathe life, to breathe hope into those areas that seem hopeless. Father, we need you. We need your touch. Father, we don't want to be a person or a people or a church that just rests on what we've known. God, we want to see resurrection. We want to see renewal. We want to see revival. We want to see a reawakening to you, Jesus. So God, we ask that you would come. God, that you would take our dry bones. You would take our dryness, our deadness. That God, you would come. That you would revive, renew, and restore. Just like you did in Ezekiel's days. Just like you did for the nation of Israel. Would you do that here today in our midst? Would revival and renewal start with us as individuals? God, we come before you, knowing, God, that you ask us to obey, knowing, God, that you ask us to follow you in obedience. And Lord, we say that in 2022, we want to do that. We want to be yes and amen. We want to say, Lord, we want to obey. And we will not question, we will not doubt. We will not get upset when the breath is not there, but we will keep obeying. So Jesus, we ask that you would help us to continue to walk in obedience. Whatever you say, there would be no hesitation. Whatever you ask us to do, we will follow. Father, we ask, Lord, that you would give us the strength to obey, even when it doesn't make sense, even when it seems silly and just doesn't make sense. Help us, Lord, to hear your voice so that we can obey and that we will keep obeying, that we would not stop and grow tired or weary, that we would persevere until the end. So, God, we look forward to what you will do in our midst this year, this week, this day. God, we give you free rein to work. We give you free rein to reawaken. We give you free rein to revitalize, to renew, to restore, to revive all the dead things in our midst today.
God, we come before you as your people, and we ask boldly for you to do just that. We ask boldly for you to change and transform our lives so that we can be closer lovers of Jesus, so that our lives can be transformed into your image, so that we can be worthy of what you have done for us, Jesus. Thank you, God, for your promises. Thank you, Lord, that you do not despise the dead things, that you, in fact, want to give life, want to breathe life. So, Spirit of the living God, fall afresh upon us now. Thank you, Jesus, for it's in your most precious name that we pray. Amen. May the Lord continue to speak to us as individuals. May he reawaken each and every one of us as we continue to follow and seek him. God bless you, and we will see you next week, church family.